So the question is, how does Mary respond to being tapped on the shoulder to serve her Lord? How should you and I respond when we're tapped on the shoulder to serve? So this morning we're going to dig into God's Word, see what the Holy Spirit would teach us today through His Word, and we're going to read some passages throughout the New Testament where Mary's character is on full display for us. And the passages that will be on the screen this morning are from the New King James Version. So Luke 1, verses 26 to 56, we'll start there. And we've heard this story many times before, but we're going to just see if we can look at it in a fresh way today. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said, I said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, "What manner of greeting is this?" God tapped Mary on the shoulder. "Hey, I need you. I need you to serve. I've chosen you." Mary's emotional response to this calling in Luke 1:29 was that she was troubled. She was greatly agitated with the news of being chosen. She was probably blindsided. She was bewildered in the why me and in the way in which she was approached. She was caught off guard, to say the least. The angel Gabriel appeared out of nowhere. Can you imagine what your reaction would be if someone approached you like this to serve the Lord? It's not someone's walking up to you. It's all of a sudden, there's the angel of Gabriel appeared. Maybe the question should be rephrased to, what is your reaction to when you're tapped on the shoulder and ask to serve the Lord in some capacity when someone walks up to you? Are you caught off guard? Are you troubled as to why you were approached? Do you ask, why me? You know, a number of the vacancies and needs for service today were shared by Justin during the time of announcements, whether it be helping out with taking the baton from Ron Barkman in service, or completing or helping out with the Tree of Life that we're doing for the Hope for Women. There's lots of opportunities to serve. How do you handle it? It's clearly a human reaction to respond how Mary did. But how do you and I manage it? How do you and I handle it? So we're going to see this morning how Mary responded to being tapped on the shoulder to serve her Lord. First, though, I found this interesting as I read through it. What can we learn from the messenger Gabriel? So Luke 1:30 to 33. So this is a kind of a insights for those delivering the ask or the messenger. Luke 1:30 says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.'" So this is a little bit of a rabbit trail and a departure from the study of Mary. But if you'll allow me, this portion of God's word is best suited for those who are actually going out there and doing the asking. "Hey, we need help here. Or would you be able to serve in this capacity?" So if you're in a position of leadership or doing the asking and the Holy Spirit has laid someone on your heart that there's a need for service, and I think, you know, this person would suit that position very well. This is for you. So if you're in a position to ask someone to serve, chances are that person that you're going to ask was not expecting it. We've talked about this as leadership where we put announcements in the bulletin and like, how effective is that, right? You see it one Sunday, five Sundays, eight Sundays, and no one comes forward. So we've encouraged or saying, hey, you just need to tap someone on the shoulder and go talk to them and ask. So chances are they're probably caught off guard. I mean, they should be forewarned because they've seen it in the bulletin for eight Sundays. But they could still be caught off guard or troubled and anxious if you've approached them. And if you're doing the tapping on the shoulder, you need to be able to affirm the person that you're approaching. You need to encourage that person that they are up to the task for what you are asking them to serve. Look at how the angel Gabriel brought assurances and affirmation to Mary in verses 30 to 33. You were chosen for a reason, Mary. Your God has complete confidence that you are up for the task. And likewise, if you're the one tapping someone on the shoulder to serve, you need to bring assurances to that person that you are asking them to serve because the Holy Spirit prompted you and that you can handle the task that you're being asked for. You just need to be faithful and step up and serve. Just affirm them, encourage them. That's something that I learned reading through this from the messenger angel Gabriel. So now Mary has a question. She's asked to serve. She's asked, you know, you were chosen to be the earthly mother of Jesus. Luke 1, 34 to 37 records Mary's response. And Mary has questions of Gabriel. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God, nothing is impossible." We learn from this interaction that it's completely okay and natural to ask questions as Mary did. She was tapped on the shoulder to serve, caught off guard. She's going to want some answers to some questions. And pretty bold of Mary, don't you think? If you can imagine, like it's hard to even fathom the concept of being approached by an angel and asked to serve in such a capacity. But Mary asks questions. How can this be since I do not know a man? Good for you, Mary, to be bold enough to ask the questions. It's all right to ask questions. Doesn't mean that you're rejecting the ask. It's just that you want some more clarity, some more understanding as to why have you chosen me? You think I can really do it? How is this possible? You want to get clarity of the ask. And we can learn from Mary that is when we're tapped on the shoulder to serve God, it's okay to ask questions, to seek clarity. You're not rejecting the ask. You're not defensive. You just want to have a dialogue with that person. Engage in the one who is asking you to serve. They want you to be successful in the role that they're asking you to serve for the glory and the effectiveness of God's kingdom. Mary didn't say, "No, you know, I'm too busy to consider that right now in my life," or, "No, you know, this is going to bring me so much shame. I'm not even married to Joseph yet." Mary had a reason to ask a lot of questions, but she asked the one important question that is recorded for us: "How can this be since I do not know a man?" A great and an obvious question, but a bold question to ask an angel who appears out of nowhere. And then we read that Gabriel, of course, takes the time to answer and explain how, and that with God, nothing is impossible. That verse, that passage in Luke 1:37 has to be one of the most comforting passages of Scripture in my heart is the fact that for with God, nothing is impossible. You and I serve an all-powerful God. Why do we limit him? For with God, with our living God, nothing is impossible. How encouraging is that? So what was Mary's response? Mary is a faithful servant and serves her God. Luke 1:38 records Mary's response after having her questions answered. It says, "And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel Gabriel departed from her." Mary was approached. She had questions. She responded favorably to serve her God. She humbly accepts. I'm sure she had to feel unworthy. Who would not feel unworthy? But Mary humbly accepts the service of being the mother of Jesus Christ. What a huge responsibility. As many are recorded in God's word, being tapped on the shoulder to serve, Moses being, "Well, I don't know how to speak. I don't have any capability to be an orator. No, I've chosen you, Moses," just as Mary was chosen. Those of you who are parents, of course, know and understand how much is involved in raising children and the responsibility that you will feel to do a good and credible job. You can imagine the weight of accountability that would be placed on the shoulders of Mary and Joseph in raising the Son of God. Or can you imagine? That saying that it's not taught, it is caught, takes on a whole new meaning. Right? It's not taught, it's caught. Your kids watch your every action. How did mom and dad respond to this situation? Look at how they communicate with one another. Oh my goodness, right? The load of responsibility that is there as Mary and Joseph takes on a whole new level for them. As you try to fathom and understand the impact of their marital relationship, and how do we demonstrate to Jesus how to live for our God? Your every move, your action, your words are on full display to Jesus to see. And all of this, and yet Mary still accepts the ask when tapped on the shoulder to serve God in this capacity. Now let's take some time to look at Mary's interaction with Elizabeth. And it's really just a reading of the scripture, but and kind of Mary's prayer. But Luke 1:39, it starts like this. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice," Elizabeth speaking out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come? For indeed," verse 44, "for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is he who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant.'" She was humble. She felt unworthy to be called. "Has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So many impressions were made on Mary, and she was already marveling about being the mother of Jesus. What were the next years to be like? If you can, you have these hopes and dreams for your children, and Mary as a mother, and knowing that she was going to give birth to the Savior of mankind, what she must have been thinking those 9 months that she was carrying Jesus. I'm sure she felt nervous excitement and often probably found it difficult to manage those times of excitement and anxiety probably. Like, how am I going to possibly raise the Son of God? But she was still faithful. Now, the actual birth of Jesus Christ is recorded in Luke 2, 1-7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary, like every mother who gives birth, is exhibiting care for her newborn child. Every mother can relate to this. But knowing the fact that you've just given birth to the Messiah, the Savior made available to all of mankind, Mary has got to be there holding her infant son, just grasping and trying to cast her imaginations forward as to what lies ahead. Many joys lie ahead for Mary, no doubt. And then also the absolute heartache to see your son that you gave birth to hanging on the cross 33 years later, only to be overjoyed with his resurrection 3 days later. Who can comprehend? I cannot. What Mary went through, the entire Christmas story foretold 700 years earlier is an absolute miracle. Mary was faithful from beginning to end. She was at the foot of the cross when Christ was crucified. From when she was tapped on the shoulder to the birthing of her son and beyond. Now as Christ grows, let's read some further experiences that she had in raising Jesus and the rewards of stepping up to serve when asked. Of course, when you're stepped up and asked to serve, first it's an overwhelming feeling. Oh, I'm really not ready. Mary would probably, I'm sure she felt very lowly, humble. Am I qualified? But once you're in the role of serving, whether it be that of making soup or serving in Awana or serving on the production team, there are rewards that follow, blessings that follow. And let's read some of those as Mary experienced. The shepherd's visit, Luke 2, 15 to 19. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, leaving the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them of this child, of this Christ child. And all of those who heard it marveled. There was people around. All of those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary included. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Just one of those memories, right, that mom's going to hold forever, right, in the raising of her child. The night when the shepherds came and the people were standing around and they made the proclamations and told me how this all happened. Mary's capturing the moment, burned in her memory for her lifetime on earth. We need to take the time to capture moments of blessing in the tasks that you are asked to serve. Yes, it can be sometimes you're in the trenches, you're working hard, serving in the capacity that you've been asked to serve in, but just sometimes take a step back and capture the moments of blessing. There are so many rewards probably that you didn't even think of when you were initially asked to serve. Now we move to the temple purification ceremony. 40 days after the birth, if it's a son, Mary and Joseph went and with Jesus to the temple for the purification and cleansing ceremony for Mary and for Jesus. In Luke 2:25-33, it records this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus, their son. My eyes have seen your God's salvation plan for all of mankind. To hear somebody say that of your infant son 40 days after birth, Joseph and Mary pondered and marveled at these things spoken of Jesus, their earthly son, but God's son. Mary, again, she took the time to capture these things in her heart that were said about Jesus. What an incredible saying. I remember sometimes when we would go out for a restaurant meal or whatever, and our kids were well-behaved, and just to have someone come, oh, your kids were so well-behaved, you know. It's kind of like a little, oh, that was really nice to hear, right? Well, can you imagine hearing something like this, right? Where you would remember that for eternity, hiding it in their hearts. It was a remember when moment. Each of you have a remember when moment if you're a parent. Treasure the times as Mary did, and don't forget them. Let's see, read some more impressions that Jesus made on Mary and how she responded. The return to Nazareth. Luke 2:39-40. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Mary was now seeing the Son of God grow up before her eyes. He was growing physically, but also being filled with grace and wisdom of God. No doubt Mary continued to cherish all of these days as she watched her child grow up. And just again with such excitement, my goodness, look at Jesus. I just can't, there's no other child that I know that's like that out there. Just the fascination and awe which she would have had about her son. We're all proud of our children, right? But this, again, just hard for me as I study this to imagine something like that where Mary would have experienced that firsthand, the growing up and raising of her son Jesus. Luke 2, 41 to 52 records the time when now Jesus was 12 years old and he went to the temple. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished, the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. So every parent has those moments of like, where's Johnny? I've lost Johnny. Whether it happens in a grocery store or wherever it may be, it's kind of like, I'm missing somebody, right? And I think at this point, they only had one child. So, I mean, the throng of the migration, I guess, and the busiest, Jesus with maybe with his friend, oh, he's over there. Well, he was not over there traveling with another entourage. He was, in fact, missing. They did not know. Joseph and his mother Mary did not know it. Verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, in the traveling company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Probably assumed that, oh, he's with this family, he's with that family. With his friends, he's a 12-year-old boy. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So now it was that after three more days of searching, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. 12 years old. So when they finally saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, they probably saw him and there he is and watched him in the interaction that he was having with the leaders of the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? We've been searching for you for 3 days and we didn't even know you were missing for a day. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. How do you grasp that, right? Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject or obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Mary and Joseph openly communicated with Jesus, their son. Son, why did you not come with us when we left? Why did you disrespect us like that? We've been searching everywhere for you. We had to double back after a day of travel and then take 3 more days of our time to look for you. I'm sure there was a discussion, something like that. But in the end result, it was that Jesus went with them and was obedient to them. He was a 12-year-old boy, and yet he was a son of God. Boys will be boys, and yet the son of God will be the son of God, having these in-depth discussions and Q&A time with the leaders of the temple. And so I don't look at it as it being really disobedient by any means. I look at it as more as like, here he was, 12 years old, the son of God, and searching, gaining in wisdom and stature. And this was all part of that. But in the end, he understood his parents' concern. And he went with Nazareth and was obedient to them and respected them. So what have we learned from Mary? Mary responded when she was tapped on the shoulder to serve her God in the capacity requested. Mary was a faithful servant. It wasn't we'd like you to serve as an Awana leader, or we'd like to have you make a pot of soup for next Sunday, or we need you on the production team for visuals or streaming or audio. It was an ask of, we need you to be the mother of the Son of God. Will you serve? She responded, yes. She had a lot of questions. She had a dialogue with the messenger Gabriel, and we learned that that's okay to ask questions. But in the end, Mary stepped up and met the task being asked of her. She was a faithful servant to her God. Mary also, as we've learned, treasured all the experiences of being called by God in her heart, and she counted her blessings from the visit of the angel Gabriel to her three-month stay with her cousin Elizabeth to the actual birth of Jesus and the interactions with the shepherds to the temple visits after 40 days of birth. Then the moment when she lost Jesus at the age of 12 where he was still back in the temple, she cherished the experiences. I close with asking you this. How do I respond when we're tapped on the shoulder to serve our God? Do you immediately get your defenses up and come up with reasons that you're too busy or it's not suited or it really is not my giftedness for such a calling? Or do you listen to the calling, the one asking the questions, and pray about it and step up to serve when tapped on the shoulder? Ask questions. And when you're serving in the capacity that you're serving faithfully for, do you take time in all of the busyness of serving to reflect back and cherish on those moments that were brought about only because you stepped up to serve? Had you not stepped up to serve, you would not know that blessing. God's work on this earth is critical to bring light to a dark world. His church and the people that make up his church are the vital part of bringing that light into this dark world. God needs his servants to step up when they are tapped on the shoulder. It is a good first step to let the church know that you're willing to serve. And people are going to need help in the church. There's areas to serve. Jesus Christ, of course, didn't put out an announcement in the bulletin or on a parchment and hang it on all the doorposts and saying, disciples needed, 12 openings. And now he went and tapped them on the shoulder to serve. How will you respond? If God calls you directly or via a messenger, how will your response be? What will your response be? Will you be open and engage in dialogue and then step up to serve your God? I trust this morning that we've been able to see how Mary's responses can be an example for us. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the accounts in your word where we can learn as to your faithfulness and how in turn to be faithful to you. So much is recorded there. We thank you for the life of Mary and for the fact that she was willing to step up and be the earthly mother of your son. Without that, this world would be lost. We needed your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is available to all of mankind. But we have to make that choice. We have to acknowledge that we are short without a Savior, that we can't do it on our own, and that confessing of our sins and asking you to be Lord of our life is available to each one of us. As we look forward to serving you and then serving you beyond this life, dear Heavenly Father, we have so much to give to you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be bold in asking questions and yet humble enough to say, yes, I'll serve with your strength. Nothing is impossible with God. We ask these things in your name. Amen.